Okay, welcome back. I think most of you have certainly seen the banner ad for the book. You've heard Damien Dumas in the past. He is the publisher of one of the most remarkably controversial books ever during our lifetimes, The Last Harvest, a secret history of Lucifera, aliens, the Illuminati, and the fate of humanity. Damien is back with us this hour to talk about what he's seeing, what we're all seeing in this formerly extraordinary country, which is now being literally dismembered as we watch. Hello, Damien. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me back, Jeff.
Is humankind the last harvest? Are we the
Most
target?
Definitely.
How do we take that and run with it? So people understand that we're not kidding. This is not a joke. And this whole deconstruction, dismemberment of the formerly United States of America is being run out to a T by the plan. They've got the plan. They can make micro adjustments. They're taking it all down. You haven't seen anything yet. You don't have any idea what's coming. I'm not saying I do, but I have a pretty good sense because of some contacts I have. And it's going to get to be far, far worse than it is now. And I'm sorry to say that. So I can only urge you to prepare to the best of your ability. Assume that the entire economic paradigm in which we live is about to be demolished. And you might get an idea. And that includes disruptions from A to Z, A to Z. And we may see bread lines and soup kitchens, the likes of which you can't even imagine, before this is all over. And when it's all over, what is on the other side? Where are we? What happens? What is the ET role in all this? And certainly there is a Luciferian agenda at work as well. It's all in The Last Harvest, written by Lucien Mars and published by Damien Dumas. All right, where would you like to go first, my friend? Because what's going on here with the attempted murder of Donald Trump and all the rest of it, and all the lies and disinformation that has been just in a cascade ever since it happened, pretty much. We're getting so many different viewpoints and different guesses. It's kind of funny, I guess, if you want. They're using the same game plan they've always used. It's just like JFK. I could probably go back to, anybody else you want who's been assassinated. It's the same basic rule. They've got two shooters at least. They always set it up the same way. And it becomes transparent if you really do your homework. It's not hard to see. I figured it out in about, I'd say, 4 or 5 hours, honestly. I had a pretty good grip on it. I called second shooter almost immediately. And we know there was one, but they're not admitting. And the FBI director, Ray, today, Christopher Ray, just lied through his teeth. But what else do you expect? That's what we get now. So, Damien, your thoughts on all this that's happening now and the issue of the camel. We can talk about her as well. And Biden, what is his fate in all this? Go ahead. Let's jump
in.
Well,
Jeff, even the mainstream media is sounding these days like a bunch of conspiracy theorists, with certain outlets seemingly embracing the notion that the assassination attempt on Trump was somehow staged. Well, given that 61 years later, we still haven't learned the truth about the JFK assassination, I don't have any hope we will ever know the truth about Donald Trump's ear. As a matter of fact, given Secret Service Director Kimberly A. Cheadle has tendered her resignation, we can safely say that if even the Secret Service doesn't know what happened, what can we possibly learn? As you mentioned, even FBI Director Christopher Wray revealed on Wednesday that investigators still do not know if former President Donald Trump was grazed by a bullet or a piece of shrapnel. But what we do know, Jeff, is that this assassination attempt and the inadvertent photo op that has resulted from it has increased the likelihood that Trump will be the next president. this is alarming because on June 9th, 2024, at a rally in Las Vegas, Trump said, quote, "I don't care about you. I just want your vote. I don't care," end quote. This is
That's
also
a quote?
Alarming.
That's a quote? I hadn't heard that quote. That's interesting.
Yeah. You can find the actual video of him saying it online. It's
How narcissistic. How arrogant. Ugh.
It was a bit of a Freudian slip.
Yeah.
And this is also alarming because Trump would end up the last president of the United States. Now, some of my critics have pointed out that, Damien, we have term limits. What are you talking about? Trump remaining in office would be impossible. To which I say, well, all the president has to do is declare a state of emergency and martial law for any myriad number of reasons, and there go your precious term limits. So in light of this, I feel that it's imperative that we take a close look at Project 2025, which has become a hot topic in the news of late. The last time I was on your show, no one was talking about Project 2025 except us. And now everyone is talking about Project 2025, it seems. The problem is that everyone is repeating what they heard about Project 2025
or read about Project 2025
without actually having read the nearly 1,000-page document themselves. So for the record, I'm going to state that I have read the 1,000-page document in its entirety. Yes, it was rather dull at points. And so my reportage here is based on what is written in the document itself and not something that I saw in a YouTube video created by someone who claims to have read the document, but actually has not.
Good. Okay, good. Now, Trump has tried to put as much distance between himself and Project 2025 as he can. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, "I don't know anything about it. I have nothing to do with it." And he's continuing to try to stand on that position. Let me find this. I had one story earlier.
Well, it's kind of difficult to stand on that position when so many of those who have authorship credits in Project 2025 are people who were on his staff or were on his staff in the past.
Exactly. Well, we got the Rutherford Institute, I guess, is one of the key players in it. Trump says he has, it's a quote, Trump says he has nothing to do with Project 2025. Here are his connections to it. And this is a Mother Jones article. First of all, his running mate, Senator J.D. Vance, wrote the foreword of a forthcoming book from the leader of the entire Project 2025 initiative. Now, I don't think that Trump picked Vance. I think Trump was told to pick Vance. That's just me, not speaking for you. But I don't buy for a minute that he picked that guy. That guy's not going to help him. He's
well,
a globalist.
You're correct. You're correct, Jeff, because J.D. Vance was handpicked by Peter Thiel, who marched him into Trump's office and said, "This is going to be your vice president."
I think you've got it. I do. I do. Says Mother Jones, former President Donald Trump has spent much of this week freaking out about Project 2025, the initiative that produced the 900-page extremist right-wing guidebook for the next conservative administration. This weekend at a rally in Michigan, Trump derided Project 2025 as a product of, quote, "some on the severe right," end quote, and said unnamed proposals included in it are seriously extreme. That's another quote. On Wednesday, he wrote on True Social, "I have nothing to do with and know nothing about Project 25. He called it 25, but it's 2025. The fact that I do is merely disinformation put out by the radical left Democrat thugs. Do you believe them? The same day, his campaign put out an update claiming, quote, "Project 2025 is not President Trump's agenda," end quote, and insisting that the GOP platform is the document that people should understand as being his agenda, the formal GOP platform. It's all there. In a live call to Fox and Friends on Thursday, Trump told the host the document was written by a group of, quote, very, very conservative people, end quote, adding, quote, I have nothing to do with the document. I've never seen the document. It doesn't speak for me, end quote. And I will stop there.
Well, let's take a little bit of a closer look at Project 2025, especially through the lens of the agenda.
Oh, I said Rutherford. I did say Rutherford. Somebody corrected me. It's Heritage Foundation.
Correct.
Thank you.
Heritage Foundation.
Not
so let's take a look at Project 2025 through the lens of the last harvest and the agenda of the elite. So
the first
thing I'd like to speak about is the number one red flag in Project 2025 is their utter obsession with abortion. I cannot tell you how many times abortion is mentioned in this 1,000-page document. It is often mentioned in places where there is barely even context for it. Not only are they very clear that they want to ban abortions nationwide with zero exceptions, but they even are interested in getting rid of all forms of birth control. So with the topic of banning abortions nationwide with zero exceptions, this gives me an opportunity to pose this potential future dilemma to your audience. What if your wife or daughter was raped by an illegal immigrant? Since the baby can't be aborted, and anchor babies will clearly no longer be tolerated in Project 2025 land, will the baby be deported? And if so, at what age will they begin the deportation proceedings? Mm-hmm. Right. Interesting questions indeed. So Project 2025, as I said, also wants to ban abortion pills and morning after contraception as well. Heck, they even speak ill of condoms at one point in the document, which leads one to suspect they would ban all forms of birth control if they could. So why the obsession with making as many babies as possible?
Again, you know what? Let me say something, Damien, if I might.
Sure.
This is really excessive. This is psychotically obsessed. This is dumb. It's stupid. If you want to put out a big policy paper, a dogma, a doctrine, a geopolitical philosophy over 1,000 pages, you're giving it all away with this obsession with the abortion issue. If you're, and I know you're right, you've read it, that this seems to be really stupid to me that they would get caught in such an obvious problem with it. Go ahead.
Well, they probably assume, and rightfully so, that no one is actually going to read this 1,000-page document. And the reason they're so obsessed with making as many babies as possible is because, as I've said in earlier shows, only infants can be successfully hybridized and implanted with chips or get the mark of the beast. Adults are fit for cannon fodder and nothing more. And cannon fodder they will be once Project 2025 realizes the military objectives they have put forth in the document. And if anyone listening to this thinks that I am being ridiculous and Project 2025's obsession with abortion is really over concern for the sanctity of human life, then riddle me this. How can a Christian carry on about how offensive abortion and stem cell procedures involving fetal tissues are to the Christian conscience, as they repeatedly call it in the document, yet simultaneously advocate for the death penalty? Here is a quote from Project 2025. Quote, capital punishment is a sensitive matter, as it should be, but the current crime wave makes deterrence vital at the federal, state, and local levels. However, providing this punishment without ever enforcing it provides justice neither for the victim's families nor for the defendant. The next conservative administration should therefore do everything possible to obtain finality, death, for the 44 prisoners currently on federal death row. It should also pursue the death penalty for applicable crimes, end quote. Mm-hmm. So the answer to this riddle is that Christians are hypocrites. how else can a Christian know that God said, thou shalt not kill, yet simultaneously advocate for the death penalty? God didn't say, thou shalt not kill the unborn, but everyone else is fair game. He said, thou shalt not kill, period. End of story. What we're seeing here is total hypocrisy and shows that Project 2025 is only opposed to the murder of the unborn because it limits the future crop of infants who would be hybridized with Elon Musk's Neuralink or British Telecom's soul catcher chip. And that is what these chips do. They catch your soul and trap you in the matrix forever. So it's not a shock to see Elon Musk standing behind all of these ideologies. Furthermore, history proves that the issue of abortion in the United States is purely a religious one, as only religious zealots crusade against the woman's right of reproductive sovereignty over her own body. After all, look, plenty of people have a moral or ethical issue with abortion on a personal level, yet would not deny others said right of sovereignty over their own body. So, given that the abortion issue is a religious issue, and given that the Constitution and our nation's founders were very clear about the separation of church and state, knowing very well the tyranny of theocracy, why do the authors of Project 2025 write things like this? Quote, when the founders spoke of pursuit of happiness, what they meant might be understood today as, in essence, pursuit of blessedness. That is, an individual must be free to live as his creator ordained, to flourish. Our Constitution grants each of us the liberty to do not what we want, but what we ought. And what ought we to do? They go on, religious devotion and spirituality are the greatest sources of happiness around the world. This is really something else. And if you think I'm taking it out of context, they also said, quote, Congress should encourage communal rest by amending the Fair Labor Standards Act to require that workers be paid time and a half for hours worked on the Sabbath, and that Congress should clarify Title VII's religious organization exemptions to make it more explicit that those employers may make employment decisions based on religion regardless of non-discrimination laws. Does this sound like a separation of church and state to you? It doesn't to me. Does this sound like something that's in alignment with the Constitution? It doesn't. So on these grounds alone, nobody in their right mind should vote for a convicted criminal like Trump, nor a hillbilly like Vance. Vance has even recently said that couples who do not have children should not have equal voting rights. Every position that Vance held.
That is lunacy. I saw it.
It's absolute lunacy.
Crazy talk.
And where does this lunacy come from? It comes from Peter Thiel, because every position that Vance has ever held, be it in the private or now public sector, was literally handed to him by Peter Thiel, who openly advocates for the destruction of democracy, the unrestricted development of AI, and is completely owned by the Greys and Satan, much like his former partner, Elon Musk, is. So a vote for Trump and Vance is a vote to throw democracy into the trash and replace it with a theocracy that promises to ban abortions nationwide, even if the pregnancy is the result of rape or incest.
Trump is really trying to distance himself from this. And no one with a brain would think for a moment that he knows, as he says, I know nothing about it. I have nothing to do with the document. I've never seen the document. It doesn't speak for me. Please, come on. We all know politicians are born liars, but this is ridiculous. He knows exactly what's going on with this. I don't know where they plug this in the overall game plan that we're being force-fed, but it's a big deal. And I didn't know. I must say thank you for reading on behalf of all of us who don't have the time. You went through it. And to have made the discoveries you did are very important. It's an obsession work. This is not right. I don't know who did it. I have no idea, but it obviously involved a number of people, multiple different authors, I'd guess, spearheaded by the Heritage Foundation, and most of you know that that's not a good group. We'll see.
Well, if you think that their stance on abortion is extreme, get a load of this quote. Quote, pornography has no claim to First Amendment protection. Its purveyors are child predators and misogynistic exploiters of women. Pornography should be outlawed. The people who produce and distribute it should be imprisoned. Educators and public librarians who purvey it should be classed as registered sex offenders, end quote. Now, I find it ironic that Project 2025 doesn't see denying a woman's right to abortion to be misogynistic, yet sees pornography as misogynistic. The problem with outlawing pornography and imprisoning those who produce it means that if you film your wife in a manner deemed pornographic by religious zealots, then both you and your wife can be imprisoned. Furthermore, I am not aware of any public libraries that have a porn section. Christians also don't seem to realize that the Bible itself contains pornographic stories, such as that of Lot engaging in incestuous sex with his own daughters over two consecutive nights while drunk. So can we assume that the Bible will be outlawed as well, since it contains pornographic stories?
I think it sounds to me like almost everything is on the table with this thing. It's crazy.
Sure, because they talk about the censorship of the left, but what kind of censorship would they have in mind in light of quotes like these?
Gerald, got a break coming up here. Gerald Celente today said that the camel will beat Trump. Now, Gerald, been around the block. Interesting. I'm going to try and put that up a little later. But I do believe that we must always keep in mind that they'll do anything they want. I think it's that simple. Didn't we see that in 2020? I think so. Hold on just a minute. Be right back with Damian as we continue. Okay, let's get going. I'm talking with Damian Dumas. Again, the book is The Last Harvest. It's a fabulous read. Whether you agree with it all or not is kind of irrelevant. It will provoke you to think. That's what we need. Now more than ever. Here's Gerald Celente's quote about Harris will beat Trump. Let me find the start here. When Trump, this is out of one of Celente's trends in the news posts he sends around. When Trump picked J.D. Vance, well, I think he's incorrect there, quite frankly, and with respect, Vance was delivered to Trump and said, here's your VP, as Damian just said. I think that's obvious. But he says, when Trump picked J.D. Vance as VP, Celente, who worked on major political campaigns in New York, was assistant to the Secretary of the New York State Senate, taught a political campaign technology course at St. John's, said Vance was a bad choice because Trump won big against Biden in Ohio in the 2020 election, and he should have picked a candidate who would have helped him win a swing state. Now, making a bad pick much worse, Celente says that Vance, quote, being so anti-abortion and pro-life is going to make them lose the presidential election. Indeed, Vance has been highly criticized for his recent comment calling women without children a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices that they've made, and so they want to make the rest of the country miserable too, end quote. That's what Vance said. A bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives, etc. All right, it goes on from there, but you get the idea. This is going to be, it's all scripted. Just keep that in mind, in my view. I'm not speaking for Damian, but it's all scripted. And it'll be played out according to the way they want it played out. Here's a little 2-minute video about J.D. Vance. Now he's I don't think Trump could have done much worse, quite frankly, but they gave it to him here.
The past. One, he called Trump, quote, America's Hitler. In private messages to his former law school roommate, Josh McLaurin, in February 2016, Vance wrote, quote, "I go back and forth between thinking Trump is a cynical asshole like Nixon, who wouldn't be that bad and might even prove useful, or that he's America's Hitler, too." He called Trump, quote, "cultural heroin." In a 2016 interview with The Atlantic, Vance called Trump, quote, "just another opioid for middle America," and, quote, "cultural heroin." Three, he called himself a never Trump guy. In a 2016 interview with Charlie Rose, Vance described himself as, quote, "a never Trump guy," and admitted that he, quote, "never liked him." Four, he said that he wouldn't vote for Trump. In a 2016 NPR interview, Vance stated, quote, "I think I'm going to have to vote third party because I can't stomach Trump. I think that he's noxious and is leading the white working class to a very dark place." Five, he tweeted that Trump was, quote, "reprehensible and a, quote, idiot." In a now-deleted Twitter post from October 2016, Vance called Trump, quote, "reprehensible" and condemned him for creating fear and division. In another deleted tweet, he referred to Trump as a, quote, "idiot." Six, he called Trump a, quote, "moral disaster." In 2017 Twitter direct messages, Vance called Trump a, quote, "moral disaster whose administration has, quote, no domestic policy agenda besides tax cuts." Seven, he supported anti-Trump rhetoric. Vance also liked tweets that said Trump committed, quote, "serious sexual assault," and called him, quote, "one of USA's most hated, villainous, douchey celebs," and harshly criticized Trump's response to the deadly 2017 white nationalist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. Eight, he said Trump was, quote, "tapping into some racially ugly attitudes." Speaking to Slate in 2016, Vance also argued that Trump was, quote, "tapping into some racially ugly attitudes," and once again mentioned that Trump was, quote, "leading the white working class to a very dark place." Despite his earlier criticism, Vance's stance on Trump began to shift as he sought the former president's endorsement for his 2022 Senate race. Vance adopted hard right MAGA values, including election denial. Vance has since distanced himself from the past statements, publicly apologizing and admitting that he was wrong about Trump. In a May 2024 interview with CNN, Vance stated, quote, "I was wrong about him. I didn't think he was going to be a good president, and I was very, very proud to be proven wrong. It's one of the reasons why I'm working so hard to get him elected."
Okay, so who put Trump in the Senate? Peter Thiel. Who put Vance in the Senate? Peter Thiel. Or Thiel. It's pronounced both ways. Who paid $15 million to help Vance in his political career? Peter Thiel. Who put him in? Apparently, it was a big venture capital company, and Vance was named to a key position in that company, which was co-owned by Peter Thiel. You have to look at all these dots and connect them. What turned Vance around? He was told to turn around. It's obvious. Pick up a new line and stop what you're doing. So he did. These people do what they're told. You got to remember that. They know where the power is. Go ahead, Damien.
A lot of things. I think people need to keep in mind that what would happen if Trump got elected and then someone successfully assassinated him again, and J.D. Vance is suddenly the president. I mean, he's way more extreme than Trump is.
Let me run that a little further. Let's say, and no one wants this to happen, but Trump is assassinated 90 days after he's in office. Who fills out the 3 years plus of that first term? J.D. Vance, who can then run for two terms on his own devices. We got a potential of nearly 12 years of J.D. Vance.
Well, potentially, yes. Yeah. I would also point out that the one thing that J.D. Vance was saying there, which was very on point in the past, is that there are indeed quite a few comparisons between Hitler and Trump. Some detractors of mine, for example, may point out that there are some good ideas put forth in Project 2025, to which I would counter that Adolf Hitler also had some good ideas, such as the notion that nobody in Germany should have to go hungry. Even the most militant anti-Nazi could not throw shade on such a notion, but look where Hitler led Germany. To ruin. Hitler's rise to power also occurred at a time when Germany was also headed down the path of cultural Marxism, with the German social fabric plagued by pornography and an overall decay of sexual mores. So if 2024 looks like 1933, it's not a coincidence. Just like when Project 2025 can't stop spouting off about rooting out cultural Marxism and banning pornography, again, it's no coincidence either that a good portion of Project 2025 is devoted to ramping up military might in America, as if America was taking notes from the Nazi war machine. I could say that history repeats itself because Satan repeats himself.
Well, fair enough. I have my own ideas about Germany and what happened there, but understood. And the idea of pornography, the Weimar Republic, that was all communist, basically Marxist communist Bolshevism, Zionism that came in there and upended the whole culture after the war and the chaos, took advantage of everything, the First World War, and led it down the road to ruin. Hitler actually turned it around in 3 years. I should say more correctly, Hitler inspired the German people to turn it all around in 3 years. It was the German people who did the work. They went to work, and they took such pride in their country. It's a story that's not told, not talked about. Anyway, I'm trying to find some more of these. There's some really weird quotes by Vance out there. J.D. Vance has said some odd things, and I'd love to find them, but it takes a little work. They're kind of hiding them now. But there's some whoppers out there. All right, you want to talk about Kamala Harris?
Well, I think that there are many other very interesting concepts put forth in Project 2025, which are in alignment with The Last Harvest by Lucien Mars. And one of them is the genetic modification of foods and consequently the genetic modification of the human organism. So what, in alignment with the whole plan of making sure there are enough babies around to hybridize an implant, Project 2025 also advocates for your own genetic modification via the unrestricted development and deployment of genetically modified foods with zero oversight, regulation, accountability, not even a need to inform the public about what has been done to the food supply. For example, they say, quote, the USDA should work with Congress to repeal the federal labeling law, end quote. They say, quote, the USDA should strongly counter scare tactics regarding agricultural biotechnology and adapt policies to remove unnecessary barriers to approvals and the adoption of biotechnology, end quote. And this ties into this curious notion that there is this this notion of advancing AI and transhumanist technologies without any kind of review, and it literally says in the document, Project 2025, quote, during the Trump and Biden administrations, so this is, again, something that is independent of left or right, there has been a bipartisan focus on prioritizing R&D funding around the so-called industries of the future. Under President Trump, IOTF priorities were artificial intelligence, quantum information science, advanced manufacturing and biotechnology, and under Biden, this list has been expanded to include robotics, cybersecurity, genetics, nanotechnology. So what we see here is there is a forward push for AI and transhumanism, regardless of who is actually in power.
Regardless. Yes.
And another thing that I found very interesting, or ironic, I should say, is that Project 2025 also advocates for cutting all regulation and oversight with regard to pesticides. I find it extremely ironic.
Okay,
hold on.
Back up.
Sure.
Just rewind that a little bit. Project 2025 advocates for the complete turning loose of pesticides, unregulate them. Is that what you said? I want to make sure people heard that.
Here's a quote, so I'm not taken out of context. It says, okay, quote, OPP should rely on Department of Agriculture and state usage data that reflect actual pesticide use in registration reviews and Endangered Species Act analysis. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and National Marine Fisheries Service should rely on similar data in their ESA analysis. And there's some other quotes, which I don't have time to get into, that demonstrate this real laxity in regard to regulation and oversight of pesticides. So what I find so supremely ironic is that right after the topic of abortion, Project 2025 can't stop talking about gender identity issues. It fails to realize that it is actually pesticides that science has proven to be the number one endocrine disruptor, which has literally changed the gender of fish and amphibians exposed to them.
Estrogen bombs, yes.
So how can you on one hand rail against gender identity issues, yet at the same time advocate for flooding the ecosystem with chemicals most responsible for issues that you are railing against? And the answer is that Satan is a hermaphrodite anyway, and that is whom Christians unwittingly are worshiping in the first place, as are the Jews, Muslims, Hindus. They just don't realize it. That's the problem with organized religion.
And never mind that glyphosate can be found in virtually every food now and every human body, virtually, in the country. It's everywhere. Glyphosate doesn't go away. So this is just one. This is a bad document for a lot of reasons. Owen Ensor, the CEO and co-founder of a startup firm called Meatly, M-E-A-T-L-Y, said that animal feed is the natural starting point for lab-grown chicken meat in the UK. They're bringing their lab-grown chicken now to pet foods first, and you know where it'll go from there. Meatly was able to capitalize on a window of opportunity created by Brexit, which freed the UK from all EU regulations. And it went on from there to got the green light to cultivate lab chicken. This is all coming at us very quickly. And just let me back up to the AI issue in case you didn't know, and I try to mention this to all of our guests here. The company, Sam Altman's company, AI, probably the number one AI company in the world without any argument, had a whole division, a department, that had as its job, its number one prime directive, to watch AI and monitor it for posing any kind of an existential threat to human beings. Well, that entire department was ordered to be demolished and dissolved by Sam Altman. It's gone. They don't even have an oversight on AI's growth and expansion, which is explosive. Like a nuclear bomb. It is growing that fast. So no oversight, no restraint. Go ahead, Damien.
Well, I think if one looks at the wholesale deregulation that is put forth in Project 2025, especially in areas such as the USDA, there's a situation created where anything can be introduced into the food supply. If you want to talk about the mad cow problem, there will be nothing going forward to stop individuals who run these operations from grinding up dead cows and feeding them to the cows or engaging in any of these practices that led to mad cow to begin with. And throughout Project 2025 document, we see this desire to deregulate. There's one point they even say, and with a straight face, that the problem that we have in this country with wildfires and forest fires would not exist if there was, well, basically less forest. And they advocate for the cutting down of timber and these sorts of things in order to decrease forest fires, which is really an outrageous thing to say, given that forest fires are caused by the lack of water due to selling off the water inside the aquifers already for many, many years. And the other fact, which is that people intentionally set forest fires, it's pretty absurd to suggest that, well, we wouldn't have forest fires if there were no forests, so let's start logging and deforesting like crazy. But this is put forth in the document.
That's psychopathic. There's also talk now, usually from the liberal left, about cutting forests down and not just lumbering them, you know, bringing them off to the mills and making timber out of them, timber products, but burying the trees where they fell. They want to bury them in the ground. This is all part of the global warming crap, CO2. Bury the trees.
Outrageous ideas.
Totally outrageous. No, crazy stuff. Absolutely. So how does Trump, I guess he just keeps denying it, but this Project 2025 is here next year. It's here in 4 months. That's how quickly it's coming. So I don't know how successful he's going to be. I do want to keep reminding people that they have this all scripted out, and they're going to do whatever they want. They own the show. We can't go to the ballot box and change much of anything on the national or even state level. Maybe on the local level, you still have a chance. But it's over big time. And I don't mean to sound negative or defeatist. I'm not. But you've got to understand what you're up against. And you're up against what we saw in the last election. Outrageous fraud beyond calculation. Go ahead, Damien.
Well, I think another important issue in Project 2025 is that there is this push to set the economic foundations for World War III and resultant depopulation as is
tell me more. Tell me what you see in there. What do you see?
Well, for example, on the subject of the economy, Project 2025 demonizes China repeatedly and conveniently memory holds the reality that it was the United States business elite who outsourced and manufactured nearly everything to China in order to increase profits, and that such a scenario cannot be reversed simply by imposing tariffs, which would be a tax on the consumer, making nearly everything consumed in the United States unaffordable overnight. Manufacturing would have to be brought back to the United States over time, yet Project 2025 has no practical plan in the document for accomplishing such an aim. But the most impactful of the radical economic changes proposed in Project 2025 is that they have this plan to effectively end the rule of the Federal Reserve. Now, I cannot fathom how they think the New World Order would allow them to do such a thing, other than the fact that ending the Federal Reserve would cause an economic contraction so catastrophic it would actually end up ushering in the New World Order itself. However, given that a large part of Project 2025 focuses on what they term quote-unquote war fighting and ramping up America's military might while creating the space for Putin to wreak havoc in Europe, defeating our NATO allies before ultimately attacking us, it would be safe to assume that their real plan to quote-unquote save the economy is the tried and true solution of going to war. Furthermore, should the United States pull all manufacturing capacity from China, it would collapse the Chinese economy as well as our own, also driving China to the same tried and true solution of economic salvation via warfare. So in this regard, we can clearly see how Project 2025 is actively promoting warfare on multiple levels, since warfare would be the number one vector of depopulation and do the most towards achieving the goal of 90% population reduction as outlined by in the Last Harvest by Lucy and Mars with respect to the goals of the elite. So So this is something that is not immediately apparent on the surface, but if one has read The Last Harvest by Lucien Mars or listened to the audiobook, one will see these underlying trends and themes and how they tie into the big picture that is slated to unfold regardless of who is in power. However, should Trump and Vance come into power, things will accelerate sooner rather than later.
In short, what we've seen in the last few days already is an attempt to remake the camel into a viable political figurehead. At least, they've given her top quality copy to represent their political viewpoints. She's gotten a bit of a makeover. She's getting coached on how to speak. I think they've cut back on her drug use, whatever that may or may not have been. Looked like it to me. But she's beginning to be presented now as an honest politician. Honest in the sense that she's for real. Agree or disagree with her. This is another marketing example. It's like they market everything. The people seem to just eat it up. What are your thoughts on the camel and where this is going to go? Seriously, where do you think?
Well, I think that if I had to wager a bet on it, I would say that Trump will be the next president and the final president.
I would concur with you at this point. I would, yes.
I don't see Kamala as having a chance of defeating him, although I feel that she would be careful.
Biden had a chance of defeating Trump either. So remember that.
Well, I think Kamala will be very good at frustrating and fostering him, and she's certainly doing the right thing by picking up the Project 2025 issue and focusing on that. But I don't think that it will be enough to defeat Trump.
I don't even know if we're talking about defeat anymore, and I hate to go there, but I just think it's all scripted. I do. I think they've made their choice, and whatever it's going to be, it's already a done deal. We'll wait and see. We'll watch. Trump is not out of the woods yet, by the way. I think they do want to get him in there so Vance would succeed him. So maybe he's got a breather until after the first of the year. But after that, I think all bets are off. I think it's wide open. We'll see.
Well, given the types of comments that Vance is saying publicly, it sounds like he's pretty confident that they're going to win. Otherwise, he would not be saying such inflammatory statements.
Well, you're right, and you're reading between the lines, and that's very good. Hal, you don't even have to read between the lines with that guy. Correct. Excellent conversation. Really good observations. The book, The Last Harvest, I guess is growing more relevant all the time.
Certainly is.
Well, all right. Talk to you soon, my friend. Good job.
Thank you.
Always.
Talk soon.
Good night. Damien Dumas and the book, The Last Harvest. You can find it right there on the homepage. And if you're doing any driving at all, get the audio version and listen in the car. Okay, end of the week, tomorrow, Friday. John Barber will be here tomorrow night. Always a pleasure.